the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday. All kinds of other ancillary pieces, but let's be honest. The thing that everybody's paying attention to is Phil Kessel out of Toronto into Pittsburgh. And the admission, I think, by Jim Rutherford, and we all know it, there's a window here that, you know, the Penguins have got to do something. They got to win. We go to Pittsburgh from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Very pleased that Jason Mackey can join us. Jason, thank you for doing this. I guess your reaction now that you've covered it, I believe you talked to Mike Johnson, the head coach today. Your thoughts on Phil Kessel and the deal that brought him to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I talked to Mike. I talked to Phil today as well, who was very, very happy to have this all happening. And I thought it was really interesting. There were three local beat guys here, and Phil called each one of them individually. It doesn't sound a lot like Phil Kessel, but I think it speaks to his excitement over this deal. My reaction would be that I think that this entire city really embraces it. They like it. I think one of the biggest reasons is that Jim Rutherford did not give up Derek Pouliot or Olimata. They're the organization's two prized young defensemen, trade chips. Olimata was never on the table, but kid ourselves, but kept Derek Pouliot around. And I would absolutely say that Jim Rutherford won this trade, at least at this point. And this was a glaring need for the Penguins. They need a scoring winger, and they didn't go subtle with this move. They got a scoring winger, and I really think based on the leadership structure with the Penguins, that Phil Kessel would be in a great situation. He won't be counted upon to be the guy. There are other guys to handle that, like Jim Rutherford said. And I think it's a situation that really interesting to see it play out, but I think it's going to be a good one.
Well, tell me about the conversation with Phil Kessel, because I'm sure I don't have to tell you what it was like for him in Toronto. I mean, up here, he was the poster child for everything that was apparently wrong for the Maple Leafs in 67. How did he, you know, how did he come across in terms of kind of untethering that burden from his back?
He came across as relieved, I will say that. I mean, I can't speak to the ins and outs of what he dealt with in Toronto, but, you know, I know it is a heavy burden that he had. He had to talk a lot and a lot of attention there, and we simply don't have that in our market. I mean, it's not a small market, but it's certainly not Toronto either. He is going to a situation where nobody is going to be looking for him to comment or really care if he comments. There is plenty of availability in the Pittsburgh locker room. There's plenty of voices of the team and people to go to. And I don't think he's going to be pushed to do that. I mean, yeah, we're all going to want to talk to Phil Kessel, but if he doesn't feel like talking after a game, if he doesn't feel like talking for 3 days, frankly, nobody's really going to notice or raise too much of a stink. And I don't think that would be that way in Toronto.
What were the pieces that went back the other way in your eyes from, you know, Pittsburgh? You mentioned they didn't give up Mata, they didn't give up Pouliot, but Kapanen, Harrington, how were those two prospects viewed within the organization?
Well, they were viewed as expendable, I can say that much, but, you know, they were viewed as projects. Scott Harrington, at his best, is a, you know, 4-5, a stay-at-home responsible defense. He's not a puck mover. He's not Derek Pouliot or Olimata, and would never pretend to be. Kasperi Kapanen, I think, probably has a little bit more upside of the two. He's a Finnish forward who can really shoot the puck, but he doesn't create a lot of offense for himself, and he's still young, obviously, and he needs to add quite a bit of weight and kind of learn how to get himself open. And so it was a project. It was going to be a process, and right now for the Penguins, as you guys are talking about, it's a window, and it's a window that they worry about closing. So right now, I mean, even if Kasperi Kapanen turns out to be a 30 or 40 goal scorer, I think they'd still make that trade because they want to win now. They need Kessel now.
Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, our guest here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Pat?
Jason, I know it's a moving target and it's tough to really pin down, but what is this window? Malkin's 28, Crosby's 27, Kessel's 27, Hornquist is 28, Perron's 27, Sutter's 26, Letang's 28. What is this window in terms of Pittsburgh being this high-end team and potentially winning another Stanley Cup?
Well, I think they're dealing with, and the Kessel trade kind of addressed this, but a staleness, a fan sentiment issue that, you know, fans are kind of fed up with hearing all this, you know, two-way center, we're going to get back to the Stanley Cup and not doing it. This year was the first year of a new regime, and I think some people to a degree are giving Jim Rutherford and Mike Johnston a pass. Now, this move here, I think it's going to buy them quite a bit of leeway, and a lot of people are sort of rejuvenated and excited with this team, and I think are going to run with the move and give them a second crack at it. But if this thing goes sour, let's just take a pessimist view and say this doesn't work out, and you're looking at Pascal Dupuis getting up there in age, Chris Kunitz getting up there in age, Rob Scuderi getting up there in age, and you might look to maybe reexamine your business model or something like that. I mean, I know it's a long way down the line, but I just don't think it's as simple as, you know, we want to win the cup. They've tried and tried and tried, and they've used it to the next piece. But if it doesn't work, I think you have to do a little bit more self-examination at that point.
How do you like, from a strictly hockey perspective, how do you like Kessel's fit with this group of forwards?
Love it. Absolutely love it. I think it's golden to work with Evgeny Malkin. You had him working with James Neal prior in Pittsburgh, and it was really a great fit. And that's somebody who Malkin has told us that he likes to play with, a forward who will shoot the puck, pull the trigger, and Malkin knows where he's going to be, and he can create plays and create space. And frankly, Malkin did not have that this past year, had nothing even close. So to me, if I'm going to draw up a lineup right now, I'm putting Phil Kessel with Evgeny Malkin. Sidney Crosby was excellent with Patrick Hornquist last season.
Mm-hmm.
I know everything can change. I know, you know, based on lineups, injuries, anything like that, but the way Kessel can shoot the puck and with what Evgeny Malkin wants, it's a match just waiting to happen. And they need a third wheel there, maybe somebody to hunt pucks. Maybe that ends up being Chris Kunitz, I'm not sure, or even the young Russian Sergei Plotnikov that they brought in. That could be a thing. But I would first look at Kessel and Malkin together.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the other reason I like it is, you know, two guys, Crosby's your 200-foot guy. Crosby's your dominant player in all ends of the ice. But Kessel and Malkin are two of the most dangerous blue line-in threats in the entire National Hockey League. You let those guys go with offensively tailored roles. I mean, there's a lot of potential. That could be a dangerous duo.
Yeah, and they're going to score your pretty goals. And Crosby and Hornquist are probably going to score your dirty workmanlike goals. And that's just fine. I mean, they both count the same. But style of play-wise, you know, Hornquist went with Malkin last season, and I get that this all can change. It's not set in stone. But it was kind of like oil and water this past season when you mixed Hornquist and Malkin. It's just not the right recipe.
With Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, you had a chance to talk to Mike Johnson. What is his thought? I mean, it's the beginning of July, middle of summer. Surely to God, he's going to wait till camp. But is he already salivating over combinations?
Oh, he is. He is. He cracked a joke at the beginning of our conversation about, oh, we're talking about hockey in July, and then proceeded to launch into an explanation on why he's so excited about Phil Kessel and his shot and how deceptive his shot is and what this can do and how he's going to examine these pairings. But Mike Johnston is thrilled. This is an offensive guy. Let's remember, they kind of became more of a defensive team, but it was almost out of necessity that they were just trying to keep things close toward the end of last year. I mean, this is a very bright offensive mind, and that's why they brought him here. So they're giving him the horses now. And I think you're going to see a lot more skating, a lot more transition, a lot more speed. They just lacked the ingredients last year, and now bringing in Kessel and some other things they're going to do. I think Mike Johnston is very happy that he's going to be able to play a style that he believes in and he knows.
Jason, tell me about Jim Rutherford. I don't know if you've had time with everything going on in Pittsburgh to notice that his former owner took a pretty severe shot at him yesterday in Carolina. He's had, as you mentioned, a year at the helm here. How would you grade his work in charge of this club?
I'd give Jim probably a B at this point, although I'm hesitant to go with an actual letter grade because I think some of it is incomplete.
Yeah.
It's just there's not enough to render a verdict. Look at David Perron, for instance. I mean, that's a Rutherford move, and part of it was great, but part of it was terrible. So which one is it? I don't know. And I did see the Carmanis stuff you're talking about. I don't understand why people feel a need to levy opinions on other people's jobs from hundreds of miles away. But be that as it may, Rutherford didn't respond to it. I contacted him this morning to see if he wanted to, and I didn't expect him to talk at all. He's a class guy. He wouldn't bite on that one. But I think Jim has done a lot of good things. I think he has missed in a few things. You all read about the five defensemen down the stretch, and it's not for a lack of understanding on the rule. It's that it was a gamble, and it was too risky of a gamble, and came back to bite them. And I think there's some trade, Simon Dupre one in particular, that he would like to have back. He didn't get enough for as much as he would have wanted for Simon Dupre. But he also brought in Patrick Hornquist, and right now he brought in Phil Kessel. So in the way the Kessel trade went down, I think Kim Rutherford deserves a lot of credit for it.
Already established the fact that there is, you know, they're actively part of a window here. They want to win now. We get that. But they've had to move assets out, draft picks and things like that. Is there a lag? Is there a concern that they're going to have a hole in their development?
Yeah, I think there is. It's not a huge hole. I mean, they're not going to rob their NHL product to worry about development. But
yeah.
At the same time, there is an acknowledgement that they need to get some organizational depth. You saw that a little bit with what they did yesterday, even getting a guy like Erickson in or Biggs or anything like that. I mean, they're slowly but surely trying to replenish that. And that's not necessarily a Jim Rutherford thing. I mean, that dates back to Ray Shiro, where we talked about, you know, 08, 09, and then 2009, 2010, and going for it and all this stuff. I mean, it catches up to you. And they've traded a lot of first-round picks, and frankly, they've missed on a few first-round picks, too, guys like Joe Morrow. And it's just not – you'd like to have those guys in the NHL or flip them for prospects. And instead, the Penguins have flipped defensemen for not enough prospects. Simon Dupre is another example. So they need to improve their organizational depth. They're not there, but they did take some strides yesterday and today as far as addressing that.
Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, our guest here on The Big Show.
You mentioned Tim Erickson's name, Jason. He's a guy that continues to be very interesting for us here in Calgary, a former first-round pick of the Flames and never worked out for a variety of different reasons. How does he fit? Like, are we talking about a guy who's got an opportunity of being a part of this NHL blue line next year?
I don't see why not, to be honest with you, and especially with you know, the injuries they had last season with their defense. I mean, that was just one of the crazier things that I've ever seen. But the Penguins could be in the market for a solid depth defenseman. I don't think playing Rob Scuderi 82 games, if he's healthy, is a wise idea. You should rest him a little bit, try to rotate, keep fresh legs. And right now, honestly, if you look at last season and base it on performance, Ben Lovejoy and Rob Scuderi might not have jobs. So I don't know which versions of those players will show up, but if somebody comes in and plays, and I'm looking at a guy like Ian Cole, who came in and earned a job, he earned a contract, and now he'll likely start the season, barring injuries or anything crazy, on the second pairing with Derek Puglia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Erickson can come in and play like that and contribute, I don't see why not.
And we are expecting Puglia to be a full-time NHLer next year, too?
Yes, we are. He's training this summer, actually, with Gary Roberts. Bill Kessel is also going to be talking with Gary Roberts a little bit, but they weren't thrilled with Pouliot's nutrition and training and some stuff he did off the ice. And they didn't explicitly tell him to work out with Gary Roberts, but they sure weren't complaining when he told them that he would be. So that will be a big step for Pouliot, but they certainly do view him as an NHL-ready player.
Jason, as always, appreciate your perspective. Before we let you go, just again, perspective on what is turning out to be an arms race in that Metro Division. TJ Oshie, now a member of the Capitals. They signed Williams, Brandon Saad in Columbus, Pittsburgh doing what they're doing. That division looks like it's heightening everything.
I think you really could make a case that the Metropolitan Division is the best in the NHL. I really do. And a year ago at this time saying that, I think a lot of people would have told me I'm crazy. You at least have to have the conversation right now.
Yeah.
And the past 3 days proved that. Very deep, very deep. You look at the Devils and the Hurricanes, I think are kind of down there, but is anybody picking the Islanders to fall off? The Rangers, the Capitals just got a lot better. The Penguins, I think, with Phil Kessel, have gotten a lot better. And if they're healthy, that's a formidable team. So this Metro race is really going to be interesting, who's able to make it out of this division.
Indeed. Listen, I really appreciate this. I know it's busy times. Thanks for giving us some of yours today.
You guys got it. Thank you.